You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 6th, 2021, the Biden administration confirming yesterday we're going to send an envoy to Vienna, Austria, where the remaining signatories of that Iran nuclear deal, the Obama deal put together with Iran, are scheduled to discuss a path forward, what they're going to do next, because remember Trump threw that plan out, tore it up. So now Biden says we're going to reinstate, we'll get it back, and we're going to send some of our folks to Vienna, Austria, to meet with them, and that would include the government of Iran. Well, this comes out from the Iranian news agency. No negotiations will take place between the representatives of Iran and the United States. No representative will meet with them. They're saying they're not going to meet with them. Well, in this hour, you're going to hear from Fred Flights, president of the Center for Security Policy. And he said, in a piece written and released yesterday, he said, if there is such a meeting, Iran will dictate Biden's surrender on its nuclear weapons program at that Vienna meeting. In other words, whenever we do get it, look for Biden to start rolling over, trying to be nice and play nice with the Iranians. Fred's going to join us later. You'll want to hear more detail on his points. And, of course, we have still the backlash from Major League Baseball and other corporations changing their plans and calling for a boycott of Georgia because of the Georgia new election law that does not disenfranchise anyone. It makes it easier to vote. It just makes sure that it's a legal vote. And don't buy the lie that if they're standing in line to wait to vote, they cannot have anything to drink or eat. It just can't be supplied by folks who might be connected to a political action group trying to offer something in exchange for a vote. But of course, MLB didn't bother care. They just decided to yank it out of there. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred, who lives, of course, in New York State, which has tougher and fewer voting law days than Georgia now does. I don't see him pulling up out of New York, but here's something else we want to know. Senator Marco Rubio wrote a letter. Marco Rubio, Republican of Florida, wrote a letter to the MLB commissioner saying, you have a membership at Georgia's Augusta National Golf Club. Are you going to pull that out and cease being a member? The Augusta National Golf Club is where they hold the Masters. And there have been many already saying the Masters is a racist event. I don't think anyone ever said that to Tiger as he won repeatedly or anyone else, but they suddenly come forward and say it now. But Senator Rubio saying you pulled MLB out of Georgia with the new voter law, the laws. Are you going to drop your membership of the Masters? I doubt it. And on top of that, CBS, which has been kind of carrying the water some part also for all of this boycott of involving Georgia and between Delta and Coca-Cola, CBS is still going to carry the Masters. There's money there. You stupid, Larry. Of course they're going to. Texas Governor Abbott issuing an executive order today banning the creation or use of a vaccine passport. It will prohibit all Texas agencies or political subdivisions in his state from creating a vaccine passport. So we're not going to do it. Well, the White House is now saying the Biden administration will not support a federal passport for vaccines. That's what they're saying today. What will they say tomorrow? Because it could always be changed, right? By the way, there's a progressive congressional candidate from Tennessee backed by various Democrats, including Congresswoman AOC, Ilhan Omar, Rashid Tlaib, and this woman, Odessa Kelly, is known for some very aggressive, threatening-type remarks. Oh, she says they're jokes. Like one, allow Pelosi to hire the best pimp that Memphis or Detroit has to offer to smack the emoji out of Ted Cruz and the rest of them. And also on the list that day four, blow up Mar-a-Lago. Day five, disappear Mitch to some secret CIA prison. Those are jokes. You do know if anyone had done something like that, reference Obama or even Biden right now. Well, that's just a Capital Six violence attack all over again. It's always the hypocrisy with the left that destroys them in the end. And it's the thing that angers me the most. Double standards. Let me correct that. They have no standards.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks. And how many times have I prayed?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
It's the biggest lie that has been out there. Thankfully, now the truth is coming out because people are actually taking the time to read the bill or talk to their legislative affairs team that we worked on as we were drafting the bill. That's the case for Coca-Cola and Delta. And obviously, Major League Baseball didn't care what was said because they just folded to the pressure. And even President Biden's own handlers couldn't give him a note card that told him what this bill did. And somebody's lying to you, and it is not me. And you can read the bill and prove that out.
That is Georgia Republican Governor Brian Kemp firing back at all of those who have said the state of Georgia has now passed this legislation, the Republican legislature passing it, that will restrict and disenfranchise minority voters. You know, one of the things that they changed in there, first of all, the state of Georgia has had, you have to give a voter ID to vote all this time anyway. All they did now is add it to the fact that if you're voting absentee, we have to see some evidence of you are who you are. And they're apparently also willing to accept, which I wouldn't, but they're willing to accept, if you don't have a voter ID with your picture on it, a utility bill or something to show that you actually live at that address where we're sending it. Okay, that's at least a start. But I think you could pick that up somewhere in the trash. Now, if they're sending it to that specific address, and you got to get there to intercept the mail, some folks might do it. But that was the thing that they were saying is wrong. And of course, they made up this lie too that you're going to die of thirst and hunger out on the voting line waiting to get in, and also that polls close at 5 o'clock. Not true. And in fact, in Chuck Schumer's state, New York, which is also the home of the MLB Major League Baseball commissioner, which decided to yank the All-Star game out of Georgia, they have fewer voting days than Georgia. New York State has 10. Georgia now has 17. And yes, Saturdays are available, at least one. They might add the second, and even a Sunday voting if necessary. But as Governor Kemp said, these folks like James Quincy of Coca-Cola and then Delta Airlines and some of these others denouncing the Georgia voting law along with the MLB Commissioner Manfred, Governor Kemp said, and I'm going to read his exactly, he said, doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. And in fact, he says, what we have going on here, obviously, it's just cancel culture to try to push us around. Listen to this.
It has nothing to do with the merits of the bill. It is all political pressure from a loud minority of people, the cancel culture. They've been shaking people down for a long time. They've obviously not only gotten to corporations in Major League Baseball, they've gotten to the White House, too.
Yeah, they have. And the governor says, I think some of the Democrats that push for this or that were upset with our law and trying to make a lot of noise about it are probably regretful they did so. And in fact, we know to some extent, yes, that's true. Stacey Abrams, who ran against Kemp and lost despite all the effort from Oprah and all the rest who came in. And of course, she says, I was cheated. She can say she was cheated and she can say there was fraud. Those who voted for Trump would say the same thing. Now, you can't say that. She can. And they do. And to that extent, has Hillary ever admitted I lost, I actually lost fairly to Donald Trump? Nope. But now they're going to move the MLB out of Georgia, out of Atlanta, to Denver. It's another blue state. Georgia's not a blue state, but it's going to make sure it goes to a blue state and helps out. But here's the real issue with that. The governor says these boycotts, referenced Coca-Cola, Delta, and now pulling the game out. He said, you're hurting the hardworking small business people in Cobb County and the Atlanta area, he said, specifically. He said, people should be scared to death that it's going to happen to them. They'll be coming next. And to that extent, when they're taking it out of Atlanta, they're taking it out of a city that is predominantly black and putting in a city in Denver that's predominantly white. And you're taking money out of the folks who are waitstaff primarily, service hotels, restaurants, or at the baseball game itself, that were really looking forward to that. And now they're not going to have it. They had that money coming. It is estimated that $100 million, minimum $100 million, now has been yanked out of Georgia. And actually, even on the left, you've got folks like Stacey Abrams basically was trying to get the MLB not to go that far. I mean, once that train started, she could not stop it. She was basically saying, don't pull out. I mean, don't leave. They made the decision. And now she's got to explain to her voters as to what she did to cause them $100 million loss. Senator Rand Paul specifically on that point.
There's all these people who are woke, but now even the woke like Stacey Abrams are starting to see, oh no, what have I unleashed? Just lost my state $100 million in revenue. Stacey Abrams and the Democrats cost Georgia $100 million in revenue because they complained about something they didn't read and they said about it that wasn't true.
It's as simple as that, but they did what they wanted to. But Abrams, in one of her statements, said, here's her statement directly, black, Latino, AAPI, and Native American voters that are the most suppressed over this new Georgia law are the most likely to be hurt by potential boycotts of Georgia. To our friends, please do not boycott us. To our fellow Georgians, stay and fight, stay and vote. Well, she wanted some action. She got it. And she's not, you know, this whole attitude of voter ID issue that you often hear that, well, they are basically mocking and I'd say belittling minority voters, specifically black voters, that they're not smart enough or can't get a voter ID, which, by the way, the state of Georgia will make available for them free a voter. If they don't have a voter picture ID, they will do it for them. They will make one for them. No charge. And what they're doing now in Georgia, that every time you go to renew your license, they will automatically put you on the voter rolls. But they're going to make sure your address is still the same. You haven't moved. There are a lot of folks out there on the left that have not been happy with the way this has been going through. But now they're stuck with it. And all the boycotts underway. And they want to punish Georgia. How are they punishing Georgia? Well, taking the MLB out is really big. Senator Rand Paul says, don't just sit there. Fight back.
Major League Baseball wants to boycott the whole state of Georgia, including Atlanta. They've already gotten rid of the All-Star game and the draft, and they're doing it because they don't like a Republican law, a law that actually expands voting. It doesn't contract voting. Georgia now has more early voting than New York has, so it's kind of ridiculous. Even the facts don't meet what they're trying to do. But my point is, yeah, if they want to boycott us, why don't we boycott them?
And a lot of folks have already said that. I read you yesterday some comments I've been receiving at Larry Connors USA Facebook, LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. You can always write as well. And many were saying, I'm done. Now they're taking this sport away. My brother had sent word the other day. He said, I was planning on sitting down watching my Houston Astros play. I'm excited for it. And then they yanked the game out of Atlanta. The All-Star game, because of this, he said, I'm done. I'll find something else to do. Numbers are down everywhere. Now, yes, people are still going. Those showing up at the Rangers Stadium for their opening game, there were folks there that wanted to go, take a kid, whatever they want to do. You do know, of course, that if MLB, Major League Baseball, if you're picking up a ticket at a will call window, you do have to show ID. You should show you are who you are before they're going to give you the tickets. And, of course, if you look a little young and you're in the stands, you want to buy a beer, you're going to have to show an ID. I don't care what your color is or how much money you got. They're going to want an ID if they think you're too young. What are you going to do, cry out, no, that's racist. You can't do that to me. Senator Rand Paul says you need to fight back, and folks are talking about doing it. They're canceling baseball. One of our listeners, I told you yesterday, had sent me an email, said, I've been a Cardinal baseball fan for 40 years, and I just dropped my season tickets. I don't know how many others are following that. Some of them had started doing it, believe me, last season when baseball and the other pro sports all caved and put MLB on everywhere, every time you turned around, and not MLB, but BLM, Black Lives Matter, and to the point it's just everybody's face. I said, I didn't come here. And even minority groups said, can we just have the game? I came for that. Some were acceptable, but then it's going away. Finally, they finally recognize it. The NBA Commissioner Silver said, this next year we're not going to have anything like that on our jerseys. We're not going to have any social justice on the jerseys, things of that nature. We're going to play the game because we found out the fans just want to see a game. That's true. But here's Rand Paul again, Senator Rand Paul. He said, by fighting back, this is going to be the only way for us to teach these guys a lesson.
This is the only thing that will teach them a lesson. If Coca-Cola wants to only operate in Democrat states and wants only Democrats to drink Coca-Cola, God love them. We'll see how well they do when half of the country quits drinking Coca-Cola, when half the country quits using Delta.
Yeah.
So the thing is they're all woke, but they're really doing something that is against the financial interest of every business. Publicly traded businesses usually don't get involved with politics because it hurts their bottom line to make half the country unhappy.
So, are we going to have going forward red colas, blue colas, red airlines, blue airlines? In other words, you're going to fly, but I only want a red airline, not a blue airline. My brother down in Texas said, I'm not going to fly Delta again. That we're trying to get out to Carolina to see a sister. And he said, we're just going to cancel the ticket, not going to fly, not going to go Delta, because they're putting all the pressure on Georgia and making big noise, which is a lie. It would be different if it were factual, but it's not. They've been toying with us for some time, a lot of people, and unfortunately, it's going to hurt the very people they say they're trying to protect. That's one of the bigger issues you got to keep in mind. But then don't forget being at the top of the food chain in the progressive movement and being woke at the top of the chain, you're still pretty good. You're still pretty good. For instance, Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred, who lives in New York City, which has fewer voting days in Georgia, also has a membership in Georgia's Augusta National Golf Club. Augusta. Senator Marco Rubio, Florida Republican, wrote him and said, are you going to give up your personal membership to the Augusta National Golf Club? Are you gonna do what you're trying to make everybody else do? You pull the ball game out, and then you're going to go to Georgia at the Augusta National and keep your membership and probably be there to watch the Masters, which CBS says they are going to carry, even though everyone's saying, well, the Masters itself, that goes back to slavery reference anyway. It should have been canceled long ago. You think he's going to give up his membership? You're right. And CBS is going to carry it. They'll make all the noise they want, but they want the dollars out of that. But then what about these same companies? What are they doing because they're upset with Georgia? What are they doing since they're so concerned about human rights? What are they doing in reference to China? That story coming up.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
They're boycotting the Georgia state law, and yet they do business with China. China's never seen a free election. China's now putting people in jail for over a year at a time for speech violations. And yet they do business with China, but Georgia expanded their voting. They added early voting. They have more early voting than Delaware or New York, and yet they're punishing Georgia because they think it's somehow some sort of Jim Crow. These people holding up Jim Crow, you know, signs need to remember it was the Democrats who instituted Jim Crow across the South.
Yeah, and on top of that, to link the election law in Georgia to Jim Crow, those days you had to own land to vote, so therefore you probably didn't get to if you're black. You had to pass a literacy test. You probably didn't get to vote. Whites didn't have to pass that test, by the way. Black people did. That's what Jim Crow was. This is nothing like this. This is nothing to deny anyone. In fact, it's protecting the vote. And then the MLB decides to make its move. I got a piece I want to read and share with you briefly from Breitbart. Nick Nolte wrote this piece, so I always want to give people credit for John Nolte. Give them credit or blame, depending on which way it falls, but it's not my writing. But anyway, he said, his fraudulently, Joe Biden barely walked away with Georgia's electoral votes in 2020. Stacey Abrams nearly won the state's 2018 gubernatorial race. Both would like to win Georgia in coming elections, but now, due to their shameless and deliberate lies, they have screwed Georgia and its citizens out of Major League Baseball's All-Star Game and at least $100 million. He said the irony, however, is that the Democrat-run city of Atlanta that's going to take that $100 million wipe out in the neck, that's going to lose all the money it could have used to help that city that's been ravaged by the pandemic. And Nolte points out in the title, the headline, Joe Biden and Stacey Abrams lied. Democrat-run Atlanta died. Stacey Abrams, as I was saying in the preceding segment, she wanted to make all the noise, she wanted to draw attention, but my God, don't do the boycott. Don't, it's too late. But she sent word out, black, Latino, APPI, Native American voters that are the most suppressed over this new Georgia law are most likely to be hurt by potential boycotts of Georgia. To our friends, please do not boycott us. To my fellow Georgians, stay and fight and vote. Governor Kemp of Georgia said this was her attitude and her turning like that and saying, don't boycott us, help us out here, knowing that she's responsible for that $100 million gone, whoop, gone. Governor Kemp said, you know, that's the biggest flip-flop since John Kerry I've ever seen. For someone who's been pressuring these corporations, pressuring Major League Baseball, to now come out after the fact and say, don't boycott, and people are getting screwed in this. And again, part of it was, well, the Georgia has voter ID laws are going to be not be good. They're going to be hurt to people who can't get, who especially minority people who cannot get a voter ID. Well, they have other options for it. And they've already had voter ID on the laws in Georgia anyway. All this did apply it to absentee balloting for you to get one. And from Florida, Congressman Byron Donalds, Republican, a black Republican from Florida, said arguing that voter ID laws suppress the black vote is disrespectful. He said it's literally the soft bigotry of low expectations, and it pisses me off. He said the fact that you're just too incompetent getting a voter ID. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Fred Flights and Iran and Biden. Doesn't look good for us.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around another 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So yesterday, the Biden administration confirmed it's going to send an envoy to Vienna, Austria. That's where you have all these signatories that were part of the Iran nuclear deal that Obama put together. The U.S. is no longer a part because Trump tore it up, but they're in the process of rebuilding it, putting it back together. The government of Iran said today, we're not going to engage in talks with the U.S. Huh. Well, before they issued that statement, and in response to the Biden administration saying it's going to meet in Vienna with them, my next guest put a piece, a column up on Fox News, and he has expert knowledge of all this. 25-plus years in the CIA, DIA, Chief of Staff, National Security Council at one point, now the president of the Center for Security Policy. You've heard him many times, an expert on Iran and that nuclear deal. Fred Flights, glad to have you on board again, sir.
Hey, Larry, good to be here.
So your piece, first of all, your piece, when you put it out, and of course this is before the Iranian statement that I just read, your title was Iran Will Dictate Biden's Surrender on Its Nuclear Weapons Program at the Vienna Meeting. So in other words, we were already backing up to Iran.
Yeah, that's right. Look, the Iranians have made it clear since the president came into office that they wouldn't meet with U.S. representatives. And what they wanted is that the U.S. drops all sanctions on Iran and re-enters a nuclear deal. And Iran will then end its recent blatant violations of the nuclear deal. And the Biden administration seems to be moving in this direction. They've dropped their demands that the deal be fixed. They've dropped insistence by Democrats and Republicans in Congress that Iran answer for strong evidence of massive violations of the agreement. So I think that the trajectory of this whole process looks very bad.
In your article, you say there is still time for members of Congress and our U.S. allies in the Middle East to press Biden and the officials to ease up on the race to jump back into that 2015 nuclear deal. What are the odds that they're going to listen to what you're trying to tell them?
Well, I don't think the odds are good, but it's interesting that there's bipartisan interest in the House and Senate not to just rejoin the deal, but to take steps to fix it. There's real concerns in the Middle East, especially by Israel and Saudi Arabia. They hate this nuclear deal.
Sure.
They don't want the U.S. to rejoin it. And the Israelis are basically, Biden said he was going to consult with Israeli leaders on what he's going to do in Vienna. Hasn't done that. And even the head of the IAEA, which has historically tried to cover up Iranian violations.
International Atomic Energy Commission with the U.N. Go ahead, sir.
He recently said in a meeting with Harvard students that Iran won't come clean concerning undeclared uranium experiments that we all know are linked to nuclear weapons. So it's just unbelievable that Biden would go forward anyway. But, you know, the chances aren't zero. I'm hoping people will weigh in.
Well, Trump had called it in May 2018 when he withdrew the U.S., the worst deal ever. And, of course, I always hearken back to the idea that, as you pointed out, that we couldn't really verify what they're doing. And I do hearken back to that statement, trust but verify. The Obama administration was just, we're going to trust them. We don't need to verify. They're going to do right. And Obama even said that he will not have a nuclear weapon on my watch. But he was in the closing months of his administration.
Yeah, no, it was amazing what happened. And, you know, what's interesting about Trump is that he didn't pull out of the deal until May of 2018, almost a year and a half after he entered office. He gave the supporters of the deal time to try to fix it, to convince him it was a good deal. And now we have Biden, who's going full speed trying to re-enter this deal. There should be interagency discussions and investigations on what to do. And that isn't happening because Biden's made his mind up.
Well, and as you pointed out, and I was not – I remember having an interview with you at that point that said basically – why isn't Trump moving quicker on this? And why think that something's going to be better? And yet, when he pulled it out in 2018 and mid-2019, they began overtly violating the agreement, but they were already doing it anyway. It's just that they were doing it in a more clandestine fashion, correct?
That's right. There were massive violations before Trump pulled out, and we know that because Israel stole hundreds of thousands of documents.
Right, I remember that.
They stole these documents in 2018. Yep. But the violations in 2019 were basically blackmail to frighten the Europeans, to pressure the U.S. to get the U.S. back into the deal. And now it's using those violations to blackmail the Biden administration to get back in the deal.
You also point out that this meeting comes as the Biden administration is trying to inch forward to giving in to more Iran demands because they are wanting to lift sanctions. They want to make buddies and friends with Iran. Part of the pressure might be coming because now Russia is suddenly holding hands with Iran. Is that the reason you think the Biden administration thinks there's a legitimate reason for us to get back in and be a part of it instead of on the outside?
I think this is almost a religion for Democrats getting back in this deal. There's no rhyme or reason for it. They're claiming that it's Russia's ties to Iran, China's ties to Iran. There's going to be a presidential election in Iran in June. I don't think any of that is true.
Yeah.
This is Obama's deal. The Democrats are mad Trump pulled out of it, and Biden wants to reverse that.
Thank you for correcting me. It was not Russia, it's China and Iran. How does that frighten you, China and Iran forming an alliance?
Well, I might add, you're right. There's a Russia and Iran tie, too. That's just not being talked about right now.
Right.
It's very strong. Russia wants to build nuclear reactors throughout Iran. China has this multi-billion-dollar deal. I think it's over 30 years.
Yeah, 25 plus,
And if that happens, it's going to be impossible to sanction Iran. You know, we won't have the leverage we have right now to try to force Iran to stop its sponsorship of terror, meddling in Middle East issues, stopping its missile program, stopping its nuclear weapons program. And, you know, it is a reaction to American weakness. I don't think the Chinese would have tried this under Trump's watch.
Again, folks, you're listening to Fred Flights, the president of the Center for Security Policy, in this article he wrote about that Biden basically is going to be surrendering on the nuclear weapons program if they have a meeting at Vienna. And you point out, and I'm reading direct from your column, make no mistake, Iran is dictating to Joe Biden the terms of his surrender on the Iranian nuclear program, period.
The Biden position was first Iran get back into the deal, then we'll drop sanctions to get in. Iran said, no, you have to drop sanctions to get in, and then we'll get back into the deal. And it looks like Iran is going to get its way. The Obama administration is already making small gestures and offers in that direction.
When they start doing that, Fred, when they start doing that, when they start the first demand and they suddenly back off, it's very common. It's very much like Obama had this line no farther and then, okay, let's move it again. They already know that they're going to be able to push. And as you said, basically keep pushing.
You know, when I worked for the State Department in the 2000s, and so often state officials would go into a meeting with U.S. enemies and they'd give their bottom line at the beginning of the negotiations. So guess what? The other side took that as a starting point. Yeah. And then our position would get worse. This is happening again. I worked for John Bolton. He hated that. Maybe John has his faults. He was a tough negotiator. And he said to folks at state, don't give your bottom line when you start the talks. That's not how anyone negotiates. Anyone with good sense.
Yeah, in any labor union negotiation, they always know, as does a management, this is our best and final offer. Well, you don't show that in the beginning because they say, well, that's where we start, as you said.
And we've already done that to Iran. So I think they're going to ask for giant financial payments in addition to us giving it these other concessions.
Well, to that point, we already did that, although Obama is claiming, well, this is money that was owed them, that was in our banks, that when they took our hostages, we held it, and we were sending that money plus the interest. And if we didn't do it, the world court would have judged us wrong and said we should pay it anyway. And I said, who cares? Who cares? And now that was done basically the dark of night. But now I guess they're going to be very public about, yeah, we're going to send them more money. Why not?
Yeah, maybe there'll be more plane loads of cash,
yeah,
which President Trump liked to talk about. But, you know, that argument that we owed Iran this money, the problem is Iran owed us and American citizens far more.
Right.
A number of court decisions and judgments that Iran refuses to pay. I mean, the balance sheet was really backwards. We didn't owe Iran anything, and Obama knew that.
One final question as we move through this. If this is a way Iran's going to handle Biden, and they know they can. What about Israel in the midst of this?
I think Israel is very concerned. In fact, there was a Jerusalem Post article, there's a link to it in my Fox op-ed, about how Israeli officials are very worried at the opening position of the Biden administration at these Vienna talks. And Israel will do what it has to do to defend itself.
Right.
It does not want to attack Iran. But I think Israel is becoming much more aggressive in attacking Iranian proxies in Lebanon and Syria. And I suspect that's going to continue. Israel's not going to tolerate threats to its security, even if it's due to Biden's incompetence.
Yeah, they say for you Americans, it might just be an inconvenience and something. He said for us, it is our survival, right? Yeah.
Israel is very vulnerable. You know how small it is and how
sure
close it is to Iran.
Fred, thank you very much, as always, for your time. I appreciate you and all your staff at Center for Public Security that are willing to come on this program repeatedly. I do appreciate it. For Security Policy. I'm sorry, Center for Security Policy. Thank you, sir.
Good to be here.
We'll do it again.
Good to be here. Thanks, Larry.
You bet. Fred Flights. How would you like to walk into the ring? And you already know the guy's going to conk you, and you're just going to keep your hands by your side and just take it and hope at some point the ref calls a fight, saves you. Good luck with that. Coming up, back to what happened in that man kicking an Asian woman in New York.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
A story I did not get to yesterday, I want to go through before I tell you about the latest involving the Asian woman who was kicked in the stomach. She's 65. The attacker was a big man. Just walked straight up, just kicked her in the stomach, and then continued.